a one verse text tonight. The title of my sermon tonight are The Peacemakers. And if you've been looking over what's been going on last week, these are things, last couple weeks, these are things that we need to be. We need peacemakers. We need peacemakers in the world today. We need peacemakers in the church today. And a very familiar verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, basically says this. It says, "Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to be who you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to be blessed because we're doing your will. Father, we ask, be with this time of message tonight, that it would touch our hearts and change us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, who are these blessed ones? You know, peacemakers, they are people who can make peace in families. You know, I've seen the most brutal arguments between family members. Probably growing up, you had fights with your brothers and sisters. But there's probably someone in your family that could bring peace or could be the arbiter of the situation. If we didn't have peacemakers in our families would blow up. But you know, they are people who can make peace in families. They are people who can bring peace in the church. Yeah, you know, churches never have divisions, right? They never have problems. Everybody's always on the same page. Wrong. We're humans too. We're just sinners saved by grace. Amen. And we need people that have the gift of being a peacemaker, that have that calling to bring unity to the church. You know, they are also peace who can make peace in the community. You know, first of all, we all need to be peacemakers by bringing people to God. Because that's how you can know. If you don't know God, you don't know peace. But we need, even as we see these times, we need peacemakers out there. Not for political gain, but basically just to bring peace for God's glory. So who are these blessed ones? They are peacemakers. What kind of people are these peacemakers? Well, I'll tell you, bar none, they are people who are quick to forgive. They don't hold grudges. So they're people who are quick to forgive. They are ones who can demonstrate God's love. This verse says what? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be what? Called the children of God. They not talk about being are the children of God. We're all children of God. But other people outside will recognize their ministry and call them peacemakers. So they are people who demonstrate God's love. We need to demonstrate God's love. Thirdly, they are people who build up rather than tear down. You know, no one finds fault anymore, does it? Everybody finds fault. We've had some issues between my wife and I over the last weekend over things. Man, you're not doing this. No. Okay? We're all like that, right? Okay? But we're people, peacemakers are people who build up rather than tear down. The real question is, we know who they are, we know what kind of people they are, but where are they? Every one of us ought to be a peacemaker. The church should be full of peacemakers. So tonight I want to look at several things about who are the peacemakers. So let's find them and let's be blessed. First of all, as we talked about, peacemakers are quick to forgive. They're quick to forgive. Where can we find these quick forgivers? Well, look for people who are at peace with God. Tonight, we need to examine our spiritual walk. We need to ask ourselves, are we truly at peace with God? In Psalm chapter 32, verse 1, the Bible says, blessed, same word, happy, satisfied, content, okay? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. See, you can't bring peace to a situation unless you know peace. You can't do it unless you have the same, unless you know what it's all about. In John chapter 14, verse 27, a very familiar passage, Christ says this to his disciples. They're worried. They're concerned. He's about ready to be crucified. The world seems to be turning on all of them. And he tells them that their future life's not going to be that rosy. It's going to be full of tribulation. But then he says this. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. You know, the gift of God is without repentance. He doesn't take anything back. And it says, so peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. You know, everybody's looking for a quick fix. Where we need to be looking and whom we need to be looking to is God. Amen. Only through Jesus Christ. And it says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Trouble, neither let it be afraid. You know, peacemakers are quick to forgive because they've been forgiven. Well, what we need to do is we need to look for people that's at peace with God. And you can't be at peace with God unless you've had your sins forgiven. You have a relationship with Him. Secondly, we're looking for people who are a tender heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Christ gives an illustration about what forgiveness is really. It's to be shared. And he talks about someone who was forgiven a great debt by a king. He had no right. He was over his, it was millions and millions of dollars. A number with so many zeros, there was no way that he could possibly pay it back. And he goes to the king and he asks for the king to forgive the debt, and the king does it. And then what does he do? He becomes a forgiving person all the time, right? No, we know the story. He goes out, he finds someone owed him money, he says, pay up what you do, and you don't pay it up, he threw him in prison. And the king was wroth. And the king was mad. He was hacked off. And said, throw him into prison until he's paid every last bit of debt. See, we need to understand, this verse tells us something very important. We need to forgive one another because Christ has forgiven us.
Right. Amen.
Who are we to hold a grudge? Who are we to say, I can't forgive you? I've heard that. Haven't you heard that? You may have even said it. I can't possibly forgive that. Look at how much God has forgiven us. And see, if we're quick to forgive, we should have a tender heart. And so we need to understand that peacemakers are those who are quick to forgive because they have peace with God. The second thing is we need to look for people who are tender of heart. Thirdly, we need to look for people who see the best in others. Boy, that's really happening today, isn't it? Everybody wants to tear everybody down. And what we need to do is we need to look for the good part. You know, in every situation, there's something good in it. There's some lesson to be learned. There's some kernel of truth that can make us a better person. You know, we need to look for that too. God looks at the potential that we have, not what we're in, not the problems that we're in. And he says, you can get out of the problems and meet your full potential. Folks, we need to be peacemakers so we can allow others to get to the potential that God has called them to do. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken... You know what people do today? Get taken into fault, and you just keep... You try to find more fault. Totally the opposite of what God tells us to do. My Bible tells me this. This is truth, folks. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. If you're doing you're not spiritual. You're not doing what God wants you to do. We're supposed to restore. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. We'll get to that later on tonight. But it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know, that's the spirit of Christ. Christ was meek. Moses was meek. Not tooting our own horn and saying, this is what I did. This is what they need. Folks, the world needs peacemakers. Families need peacemakers. Churches need peacemakers. Are we up for the challenge? Are we up to say, sign me up? Sign me up for that. It says, restore such a one in spirits of meekness, considering thyself. You know, I guarantee you that we've all been in the same boat, because that's what the Bible says. We all need restoration. And we all need reconciliation. So we can share it to others. So considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Where can we find these quick forgivers, those that have peace with God? Look for those who are people of tender heart. Look for those who want to see the best in others and want others to succeed. Lastly, look for people who do not keep tallies. You know, some people have their feelings like a cribbage thing. They keep run your points up. How many points do you have? Okay. Well, you don't deserve it. You know, Peter was asked this question. God's talking about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18. And Peter comes up, the great spiritual theologian, right? The guy who had it, right? He got it. No, he had it. Then he gets it. Then he forgets it. And he gets it, just like us. We know the story, Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22. Peter asks this question. Okay, God, how many times do I have to forgive someone? Really? You know what happens when you start thinking? Okay? We say at work it weakens the team. Thinking weakens your faith. Because you put your rationale into it, it doesn't work very well. But it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? See, I'm keeping a tally sheet. Till seven times. Now, you go into, there's all sorts of ways, looking at the seven times and the 70 times 70, and come up with all these numbers. Now, that's not the point tonight. Just want to make a simple point. Keep on forgiving people. When you think you've forgiven enough, forgive even more. And Christ says this, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. See, God wants us to always go one step more. How can you have faith grow unless you go one step more? How can you understand the magnitude of your forgiveness of you unless you go one forgiveness more? And it says, I say not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What is that, Leah? Pay attention, huh? You might be asked a question. What's 70 times 7?
She said
490. 490 times. Yeah, you know, I would have a hard time if someone keeps on doing the same thing over. Probably about the 100th time, I'd probably be done with that person. Wouldn't you? The 200th time, it would be gone. What does Christ say here? What's he say, Ricky? Okay. 490 times. I tell you what, you can just drive across San Antonio and you get offended 490 times. So the issue is that beyond what we think, is reasonable, we need to understand the magnitude of what Christ has done for us. So people who are peacemakers are quick to forgive. You know, Jesus was quick to forgive. Remember the forgiveness at the woman at the well? In John chapter 4. First of all, she wasn't a Jew. She was a Samaritan. And you know the story. The first thing was is that she was surprised that Jesus would even speak to her. And then she was surprised that Jesus wasn't really talking about water. And then she was surprised that God knew everything about her. And then she was surprised about how people were really supposed to worship God. Not in a place, but basically in spirit and truth. And then she acknowledged that she says, I know that the Messiah comes. And Jesus said, I'm here. And she says, I believe. And you know what she did? She went into town. I'm sure she had a reputation. I'm sure she did. Because she had all these husbands. She went into town and she said, come and see this man who told me everything that I ever did. Now, I'll tell you what. You say that today and people say, I don't want people to know what I've done. We try to hide it. But see, all those things that were hidden that we want to hide, God's forgiven. And we need to understand that if Jesus was quick to forgive, and we've been bought with a price, we need to get with the program. We need to get indwelt and do the exact same thing. We need to get inspired. And we need to get involved. You know, Jesus was quick to forgive. Remember his forgiveness on the cross? In Luke 32:34, it says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. Here is someone falsely accused, falsely judged, dying for nothing that he ever did. And he has the heart, because he loves us, to ask his family father to forgive us. See, peacemakers are quick to forgive because Jesus was quick to forgive. Remember, he's hanging on the cross, and remember, his cross is between two other crosses with thieves on them. You know, we would be saying, don't bother me, I'm dying. Don't bother me, I've got my own problems. Don't bother me, things have not gone my way. And yet Christ had the love enough to forgive someone who was dying alongside of him. We know the story in Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43. It says, "But the other answering rebuked him." So one thief said, "Hey, get us down off the cross so we go on with our lives and we don't get the punishment that we deserve." You know, that's what the world wants today. Just let me do my own thing and let me have no accountability, no responsibility for it. But it says, "But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." You know what the wages of sin is? Death. You know what the gift of God is? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, "But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now, he probably wasn't part of the crowds that followed Jesus unless he was in there robbing people. Here's someone going the totally the wrong way and God changes his direction instantaneously. Oh, here's someone going the wrong way and it's never too late. It's never too late to turn to God. It's never too late to get repentance. It's never too late to give forgiveness. It's never too late. Never too late. So I'm just waiting for one more convenient day. You keep on waiting, it will be too late one day. It says, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, you know it. Everybody read this last part. It says, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, that's a promise we all have. It's a promise we all have. One day we're going to see him face to face. See, peacemakers are quick to forgive, and we look for people who have peace with God and following God, have tender hearts, don't keep a ledger sheet. Jesus was quick to forgive. And thirdly, peacemakers are quick to go because we're rejoicing in forgiveness. This morning we talked about that we need to get inspired. Our sins being, all of our sins being forgiven, buried in the deepest sea, to be remembered no more, ought to motivate you to be a peacemaker. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the what? The ministry of reconciliation." Do you get it? Do you get it, Christian? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto the blessed is man whose transgression is what? Forgiven. And hath committed unto what? Us. Not only the ministry, but the word of reconciliation. That means that we have to have an active part in peacemaking. We know the word. Now then, we are ambassadors. Oh, now we get to represent him. For Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Don't leave here tonight unless you have peace with God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, peacemakers are quick to forgive. Peacemakers demonstrate God's love. See, they resemble their heavenly Father. They sacrifice for the benefit of themselves. Is that what it says? a sacrifice for the benefit of others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, Paul is talking about the church at Corinth. And you know something? There's a lot of junk going on in that church. There are a lot of issues he had with that church. He visited them, started them, they went pfft. They acted like babies. There's division and fighting there. Most of us would have just given up. But look at what he says here. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, he says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Is that looking out for the benefit of others? Absolutely. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Wow. But Christ endured a contradiction of sinners against himself. Look at Paul here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. We preached this several months ago. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of who? Others. See, peacemakers know that it's not about them. So peacemakers demonstrate God's love. They resemble their heavenly Father because they sacrifice for the benefit of others. Christ died on the cross for all of us to benefit through salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
They're quick to resemble our Heavenly Father. They're quick to reconcile with those who have wronged them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not. And then here's the whole point. Let not the sun, what? Go down on your wrath. That means don't sit there and sleep on it. Get it resolved. You got something wrong with somebody. You got an issue with somebody. Don't sit there and talk about to everybody else what your problem is. Go to that person and get it fixed. Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. It should be very easy in the church to do that. But here's what Jesus says in the same sermon he's preaching. He says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, while you're in his presence. Don't walk away and then say, I'll make an appointment with you. Solve it now, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Oh, folks, when we do something wrong and we know we've hurt somebody, you need to fix it right then and there. Husbands, if you did that to your wife, you need to reconcile that immediately. Wives are the same. Kids the same way. We need to do that. Fellow believer, they're quick to reconcile with those who have wronged them. Thirdly, they take a loving look at situations that divide people. Get it? They don't pick sides. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Yet the psalmist writes, and the Bible has in it, the benefits of being at peace with one another in the body of Christ Why on earth would we want to have division in the church? Why on earth would we allow things to fester and fraction the church? We wouldn't want to do that. See, you know, there's two ways of looking at every situation. There's God's way, and then there's the wrong way. You know, your way's not in there. If it's not God's way, it's the wrong way. If it's not truth's way, it's the wrong way. If it's not the Bible way, it's the wrong way. You sound pretty fanatical about this. I'm getting there. We're running out of time, folks. We have to see things through the prism of God's Word and do it His way. There's God's way, and then there's the wrong way. And then all of a sudden, when you start doing your own thing, you'll figure out that God's way was the right way in the first place. And we go through life, going through making the same mistake, making the same mistake, making the same mistake, making the same mistake over and over and over again. And then finally, we have this V8 moment. And we say, oh, I should have done it God's way. So peacemakers demonstrate God's love because they resemble their Heavenly Father. Peacemakers focus on redemption rather than wrath. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. See, what peacemakers do is they refuse to make mountains out of molehills. They say, well, I'd never do that. We all have. Let's not lie to ourselves. Peacemakers focus on reconciliation rather than building barriers. See, our goal as peacemakers should be to put people together instead of pulling people apart. And the issue is, there's God's way and there's the wrong way. So peacemakers are quick to forgive. Peacemakers demonstrate God's love. And then lastly, peacemakers are church builders. Not in a physical sense of the building. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. Everywhere he goes, people are telling him, don't go to Jerusalem. Bad things going to happen to you. He goes through Turkey and he winds up at a place called Miletus, which was a port town. And he sends for the elders of Ephesus. And they come down from Ephesus and they meet with Paul on the seashore and he's talking to them. And here's what Paul had to say to them. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to what? Build you up. See, what we need to do is we need to point people to God. Christian, we should point lost people to God. We should point other people, Christians, to God. So we all come in the unity of the faith. So we all look like Him. Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Got a question. Do you create an atmosphere around you of excitement rather than despair? See, there's God's way and then there's the wrong way. Do you bring harmony into a situation or destructive division. See, there's God's way and there's the wrong way. See, a peacemaker's presence in the church brings a fellowship of love to the church. Peacemakers live like Jesus. You know, the last part of this verse says this: blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be what? Called the children of God. When people look at you and people look at our church, will they say that we're the children of God? We need to be peacemakers. But in order to do that, you need to have peace with God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then you need to exercise that peace with everybody else that you come in contact with. The lost, you need to bring them at peace with God. The Christian, you need to bring in harmony with God. So we're all going the same way. Now, Christ quoted Amos. He said, how can two walk together except they what? Be agreed. That's what being a peacemaker is all about. We agree on doing it God's way. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you with this time of invitation. Father, help us to be the peacemakers that you want us to be. Father, if someone is here or on the internet, Lord, listening, that's not at peace with you because they don't know you as Savior, Lord, tonight, I just ask that they would pray the prayer of saying, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you did it for me. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life through your salvation. And I'll follow you from this point forward. Lord, help us to be at peace with you. Help us, Lord, to be at peace with others. And Lord, if we have any division tonight, Lord, I just pray that this would get a time of reconciliation. That those at odds with others, Lord, would just make peace. That we can leave this place in harmony. We ask these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.